And welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is an introduction to the WebSphere Application Server Performance Tuning Toolkit. Today's presenter is Peter. Peter is a staff software engineer at the IBM China Software Development Lab in Beijing, China. He has been a part of the China WAS SVT team for 6 years working on WebSphere Application Server problem determination and performance tuning. He designed and developed the WebSphere Application Server Performance Toolkit. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Peter.
Okay, thanks, Darren. And thanks, everyone, to join this meeting. I'm Peter from China WAS team. I have working in IBM for 6 years by now. I'm the developer of WebSphere Application Server Performance Tuning Toolkit. So if you have any questions, suggestions, or any feedback on this toolkit, you are welcome to send me a mail. My mail address was put in the first page of my presentation. Okay, let's go to next page, move to page 2. Page 2 is the agenda of my presentation. I have divided today's presentation to 4 parts. The first part is an overview of the PTT toolkit, and I will introduce this toolkit and talk about some typical scenario in this part. And the second part is a quick start of this toolkit. In this part, I will go through the main functions and features of the performance tuning toolkit, including the performance monitoring, performance tuning, and performance problem determination. The third part is an example. I will show you how to use this toolkit to monitor your system and determine problem using an example of connection leak. And the last part is the summary of this presentation. So this is the agenda of today. Okay, let's move to the next page, the page 3. Page 3 is the PTT overview. PTT is an intelligent workbench special designed to help users to tune the performance of WebSphere Application Server. Compared to other similar toolkits, its advantages are feature-rich and easy to use. PTT is a feature-rich tool. Its main functions cover performance monitoring, performance tuning, and the performance problem determination. I will talk about its features and functions in later page. Besides, PTT is very easy to use. PTT is a portable software, which means that you don't need to install it, and you just need to unzip the zip file, and you can copy it to anywhere you like. PTT is also a loose coupling client. You don't need to do any configuration on the server side, and there is no agent to install to server side. You just need to provide the deploy manager's IP address and the support. It will connect to the support and collect data while GMX. So it's very easy to use and no need to do any complex configuration. Besides, the PTT is very clear and easy to understand. Although we have provided lots of documentation, include the help documentation, some demos, some tutorials, documentation, or some workshops to help users to learn this toolkit. But we hope that most of the functions can be understood without any documentation. So if you find some functions are not so easy to understand, please send me a mail. I will improve it. Okay, let's go to next page, the page 4. Page 4 is some typical usage scenario of this toolkit. The first usage scenario is finding errors as soon as it occurs. This function is very useful in some large body, as the errors in large body are most likely to be ignored because it's hard to monitor all the servers. Using this toolkit, you can catch most of the errors, such as the servlet errors, the transaction rollback errors, the transaction timeout errors, DBC connection timeout, the DC connection errors, thread hung errors, and other exceptions. Using this toolkit, you can catch them and very easy to find the root cause. Besides, the second scenario is help user to detect potential problems. This toolkit will help users to detect potential problems by either manual way or automatic way. The manual way mainly refers to show all the status with some easy understood charts and forms. These functions are mainly used for trend analysis because you can check all the status and history data. This toolkit can also help to detect abnormal symptoms according to some predefined rules. There's a rule ending in this peak toolkit, so users can define some customized rule according to the characteristics of their systems, and it's very useful for detecting some abnormal problems. The third usage scenario is accelerating performance tuning process. This toolkit will help users to accelerating performance tuning process by a centralized view or a script view. Using the centralized view, users can tune all servers in a table view. Users can extract the configuration info from all servers and change them in the table. Then you can update all the modification to the server side. It will be very easy, and you can also update some configuration in batch. So it's very convenient. Besides, for some complex parameters, such as the performance-related parameters of some resources, it's hard to tune them in a centralized table. So you can choose the script view. In the script view, you can create and modify some admin script and execute within the workbench. So it's very easy for you to maintain some common scripts and run them to any cells you connected to. The fourth usage scenario is facilitating problem determination. Using this toolkit, you can easily to generate thread dumps, heap dumps, and you can enable some runtime trees. You can extract connection-related information, and you can also extract some log files, for example, the sysout and the sysmr log. So it will be very easy for you to get some problem determination-related information from the server side, and you can use them for further investigation. Okay, let's go to next page, the page 5. In page 5, we will go to next part, the second section. In this section, I will give a quick start of this toolkit. The first function, we will focus on the performance monitoring. Okay, let's move to next page, the page 6. In the page 6, you can see that it's the GUI of WebSphere Application Server Performance Tuning Toolkit. As we have mentioned before, it's very easy to launch this toolkit. You just need to unzip the zip file and launch the toolkit by some executable files. And after you launch the workbench, you can see that the GUI was just as the graph in the presentation. You can see that there are five common views in the workbench, includes the cost views, the body views, the script views, the main area, and the tuning parameters views. We will use these views frequently in our later steps, so you just need to remember the name of these views and the location of these views. We will introduce the detailed usage of these views in later steps. Okay, let's go to next page. The page 7. In the page 7, we will start to connect to the server side. Firstly, you need to define a host. A host is a connection to the server side. In this page, you can see that firstly you need to click the Add New Host button. After that, you will see that a dialog was pop up. In the pop up dialog, you need to provide the IP address and the support of the deploy manager. If your WAS environment enabled the global security, you will also need to provide the username and the password of the administrator. So this is enough information for connection, so it's very easy. After that, you can click the OK button to finish the definition step. Okay, let's move to next page, the page 8. In the page 8, you can see that we have defined a host. In this page, you can just double-click the host, and then it will connect to the server side. After the workbench connected to the server side, you can see that all the topology information will be shown in the topology view. The topology view contains all the topology information, including the node info and the server info. At the same time, in the main area, the workbench was shown there. The workbench is a very important page for monitoring. You can see that in the workbench, there are several panels. Each table panel presents a server. These servers include the WebSphere Application Server, Proxy Server, or ODR servers. Okay, let me introduce the dashboard monitoring. The dashboard monitoring is very important for some large topology. As you see that, it will show all the key status of each server in one page. It's very important for large topology as we can't check each server's detailed status. And using the dashboard page, we can monitor all the servers in one page. So if some problem occurs, we will be able to catch these errors or exceptions in this page. We hope that more than 18% of errors can be catched by this page. And we only need to go into some detail page after we catch some abnormal symptoms. In this page, you can make some change on the refresh interval. The refresh interval is an interval we refresh the dashboard. And this interval can only be multiple of the data collection interval. which we will introduce in later page. Okay, let's go to next page, the page 9. In the page 9, I will introduce some detailed key data of each table panel. You can see that I have divided these performance-related data to four categories. The first category is the performance-related data, which includes serverless response time, serverless throughput, database response time, and database throughput. Besides, we also contain some error messages. For example, the serverless error number, the database connection timeout, the JC connection error, the thread hung error, transaction timeout, and the transaction rollback. When this error happens, you will see it will be get an alert. The third category is the system status. For example, the session numbers, the CPU usage, and the heap usage. The last category is some customized alert. As we have mentioned before, there is a rule engine within this toolkit, so users can define some customized rule. And if some abnormal symptom was catched by the rule engine, there will be alert showing in the last item. So there are two important points I have to make here. The first is the color of each data column. And when some abnormal symptom was detected, you can see that the color of the data will be shown in red color. It means that the latest status of the this data was not right. You have to pay attention. For example, in this page, the serverless error was not zero. So you will know that some serverless error occurs in your server. You have to check the server detail information. Besides, there is also another mark we call the warning mark. The warning mark is another signal that some error occurs. The difference between the warning mark and the color mark is that the warning mark will be never removed unless you remove them manually. So sometimes you may not be able to watch the dashboard all the time. If some problem ever occurs, but after a period of time, it will turn right. So you will see in this case, you will see that the color of the data was not red, but you will also get a warning mark, which means that some problem error occurs, but it turned right now. Okay, let's go to next page, the page 10. The dashboard is the first level of monitoring. We hope that we can catch most of error in the dashboard, but sometimes we can't find the root cause from the dashboard view. So we need to get some detailed information. You need just to double-click any server panels in the dashboard. You will go to the graph view of the set server. In the graph view, you will see that there will be several graph sections in this view. All these sections can be shown in one page, but all the data was for one server. In this page, you can see that you can check most of the history data, and you can move the scroll bar to any period of time and to check the data chart of that time. In this page, you can also click the arrow button on the right side, and it will move to next previous or next page. So it will be very easy for you to check the history data in graph view. And this will be very helpful for some trend analysis. So it's more detailed, it contains more detailed info than the dashboard, but you can only check one server event page. Okay, let's move to next page, the page 11. In the next page, I will talk about the another important content of time interval. We call it the statistic interval. As you see that each point is the statistic result of a period of time in this chart page. So if you want to change the interval of statistic, you just need to click the button on the right top of this view, and you can change the statistic interval at runtime. So it's very important for trend analysis, because some problem you will find that the curve of this graph view differs violently. It's hard to analyze. At this time, you just need to enlarge the statistic interval. It will make the curve more smoothly, and it will be easy to check the trends of the performance-related data. Okay, let's go to next page, the page 12. In the page 12, you can see that you can also customize the view of graph monitoring. And in this page, you just need to select the graph you are interested in. For example, if your application doesn't contain any EDB, you can just uncheck the EDB response times, and it will disappear from this page. So this function is very useful when you want to compare some performance-related curves in the graph view. For example, you may want to know the relationship of the server response time and the transaction response time. You just need to uncheck the other items and only the server response time and transaction response time. It will be very easy for you to compare these two curves and find some performance-related problem. Okay, let's move to next page. In the next page, I will talk about another level of monitoring, the data view. In the graph view monitoring, you can check most of the history data by graph, but it's not detailed enough, because sometimes you need to know more detailed data. For example, in the graph view of response time, you can see that there is a curve of the response time as a history. But the response time in the graph view is the average response time of all the servlets and the DSP. If you want to any special servlet DSPs or DSPs response time, you just need to click one point at the graph view, and it will switch to the detailed data view. In this view, you can check the some detailed data related with that point. For example, in the detailed data view, you can see a tree item, and which contains most of the JSP and the servlet information. It contains the response time of each each GSP, and also contains some other information. A very important point I have to make here is that each subtree item will be shown in different background color according to their contribution to the total item. So in the view, you will see that the first servlet is the main contributor of the performance problem. So you will have to pay more attention to that item because it's in red background, and the other item is not as important as it. So it's very important to use the detailed data background to determine some performance-related problems. Okay, let's move to next page. The page 14. In this page, I will give a brief overview about the performance monitoring. The performance monitoring functions, firstly, will collect the performance-related data from the server side. It will connect to the deploy manager of your cell and collect the performance-related data from the support via the JMX. After the workbench gets all the performance-related data, it will persist it to a local embedded survey database, and all the data will be processed firstly. The processed data will then go through a rule engine. In this rule engine, there will be lots of rule, existing rule or some user-defined rule. After that, if some abnormal system was detected from the data goes through the rule engine, some alerts will be generated. All the generated alerts and some normal performance-related data will all be shown in the GUI of the workbench. So that's the overview of the performance monitoring model. Okay, let's move to the next page, page 15. In this page, I will talk about the interval concept of the performance monitoring. In the previous slide, we have talked about three types of interval. The first interval is the data collection interval. It's the interval we collect data from the server side. Just you have seen from last slide, all the performance-related data will be collected at this interval. So this interval can't be changed at runtime, and it was set in the preference panel, and it can't be adjusted after you start to monitor. The second important interval is the monitoring interval or the refresh interval. It's the interval of the dashboard to refresh status of server. Using this interval, you will get the latest status in the monitoring interval. And this interval must be multiple of data collection interval. You can adjust it at any time, but must be adjusted to multiple of the data collection interval. And this interval must be to the current status, and you can't check any history data using this interval, or you can't check any data in the dashboard. So it's a second very important interval. The last interval concept is the status interval. It's the interval of the graph view. You have seen that we will calculate some value with some statistic of data at interval. City interval is the statistic interval. City interval must also be a multiple of data collection interval. And you can adjust it at any time. And you can also move this static interval to any period of history data. So it's very freedom for you to do analysis. And this is a very important interval. You may want to change it very frequently because you must make your graph view more easy to understand and to analysis. Okay, let's move to the next page. Page 16. In this page, I will talk about the rule engine. The old rule engine is a very important model in this toolkit because we will use the rule engine to detect some problem automatically. There have been some existing rules built in this toolkit, include the rule related to the heap size, the thread pool, the CPU usage, the storage response time, DDBC connection, GCE connections, and other performance-related problems. Users can make some modification on these rules, or users can also create some new rules according to the characteristics of their own system. This will be very useful for health check because each system is different, and you just make some special rules according to your own system. It will be more efficient. Okay, let's move to next page. The next page is the rule editor. Users can modify their rules using the rule editor. This editor is very powerful, and you can use this editor to edit any rules or do the syntax check. If some error was checked, it will give you an alert. So using this editor, it will be very easy to define your own rules. If you need to find more information about the performance-related data, which can be filtered by the rule engine, you can read the documentation of HAP. We have put most of the performance-related data information in the HAP documentation, so you can get all the info to start to edit your rules. Okay, let's move to next page. The page 18. In this page, I will talk about another main feature of this toolkit, the performance tuning features. Okay, let's move to next page. In this page, I will talk about the first way to tune your servers. You can tune your servers in a centralized view, like the graph in the chart. And using this view, you can see that most of the servers was shown in the table. And you can just select these servers and click the button on the right side to extract all the configuration related with the servers to your table. It will be very easy for you to check your configuration in this view because you can get an overview of all the servers in one table. After you extract this configuration information, you can make some modification just in this table. And after you change any value, this value will be turned to red, which means that you have made some modification on the value. And after that, you can select this server you want to update and click the Update to Server button to make this modification to the server side. So using this view, it will be very convenient for you to make some modification on your server side. And you can do some modification, do some perform tuning work in batch. And it will be very useful if you have some template to modify these values. Okay, let's move to next page. In the next page, it's the second way to tune the performance of WebSphere Application Server. The centralized table is very convenient, but it's hard to contain all the performance-related parameters. So for some complex scenarios, we have to use the performance tuning script view. In the script view, there are some existing built-in performance tuning scripts. You can make some modification based on these scripts, or you can create your own new scripts to tune the performance of server side. The advantage of this view is that you can run these scripts against any server defined on your host view. So it's very convenient for you to tune multiple cell. Okay, this is the two performance tuning models, and we hope that use the two way, you can do most of the performance tuning work very easily. And in order to facilitate the script modification, we also provide a script editor. And you use this editor, you can get some assistance on the WSmin script modification. So I think it's very easy for you to modify some performance-related script. Okay, let's move to next page. In the next page is the graph. It's the graph view of run script. After you click the run script button, there will be a pop-up, a dialog like this. In this dialog, you can see that the target host, the script file you want to run against the target host. And you can also put some customized parameters in the third field. So this is very convenient for you to run these scripts against a remote server. And after you click the OK button, a new console will be shown at the bottom of the GUI. In this console, you can see the detailed information of the script execution result. Using this console, you can see that all the modification steps was shown there. So it's very convenient for you to do performance tuning. Use both performance tuning script and centralize the view. Okay, let's move to next page, the 22 page. By now, we have introduced the performance monitoring and the performance tuning. In the third part of the second section, I will introduce the performance problem determination related functions. Okay, let's move to next page. The performance problem determination functions contains some common operations include generate thread dump, generate heap dump, enable trace, show connection pool contents, and get server logs. Using this menu, you can perform this operation very easily. You just need to right click the server target server in the supported view and select the operation you want to perform. Let's move to next page. In this page, it's an example of enable trace. If you select the enable trace menu against any server, the dialog will be pop up. In dialog, you can select a trace type. We have defined some typical problem of trace string. If you want to detect some data database connection pool related problem, you just need to select the database connection pool trace string and click the OK button. The database connection pool related trace will be enabled on the server side. It's a runtime trace, which means that all the trace string will disappear after you restart the server. So you just need to enable the trace at runtime, and it will not leave the configuration modification to the server side. Let's move to next page, the page 25. The page 25 is another function of this toolkit. Sometimes you may want to generate some performance-related reports against some monitoring records. So you just need to right-click the performance monitoring record and select generate report menu. All the performance-related data will be extracted and generate a report like this. It's very important for you to check some performance-related overview information. You can also export the report to Word format or the PDF format. So it will be very helpful for you to do performance testing, because you may want to extract the testing result to documentation. Okay, move to next page, the page 26. The page 26 is the preference settings. In this page, you can change some very important parameters, include the data collection interval we have mentioned before. Besides, there are some other important configuration you can change. You can get some more detailed information from help documentation. So this information only needs to be changed when needed. You can get more information. Okay, let's move to next page.
WEST West Corporation.
Next page is the third part of my presentation. In this part, I will go through the these functions we have introduced in previous parts with an example of connection leak. Okay, let's move to next page. In this example, we will use a connection leak problem to show how to use this toolkit to detect problems and perform problem determination. This scenario is a typical connection leak problem. In this scenario, we will use a DTrader application. DTrader is an open source application for performance, for application server performance testing. and it's a benchmark for application server. We will use this application to simulate some complex application, and we will make some modification on this on some of the servlets. This is the code change we made. In the code snip, you can see that we will look up some connection and get the connection from the data source and never release it in a thread. So it's a typical scenario of connection leak. Our topology is as right page, right side. We will use several web-scale application servers and use a proxy server as a dispatcher. For the test client, we will use a Demeter tool to simulate some stress. Using this topology, we will start to render stress and trigger the connection leak problems at runtime. Then we will use this toolkit to monitor all the system and perform the problem determination actions. Okay, let's move to next page, the page 29. In the page 29, we will see that after we triggered the connection leak problems from the dashboard, you can see that some DDBC related data will turn red firstly. These data are the DDBC response time and the distributed throughput. As the connection leak problem will cause some connection performance problem firstly. So in this page, we will see the DDBC related problem firstly. Okay, let's move to next page. In this case, after you detect these performance related problem, you just need to double click the panel of the SIG server. By this way, you can jump to the graph view. In the graph view, you can check the alert section. The alert section will show some alerts generated by the rule engine. In the alerts, you will see that there are several connection pool alerts and servlet alerts. By click the points on the graph view, you will be turned to the detailed data graph, detailed data view. In the detailed data view, you will see that several alerts were generated, and the alert content was like that. For example, it will detect some thread was waiting for the connection pool, and some servlet performance decline problem was also detected. So it will generate two types of alerts. The first type is the connection pool alert, and the second type is the servlet alert. Okay, let's move to next page, page 31. In the graph view, you can check the alert type, but if you want to check some more detailed information to investigate the problem, you need to check some other detail or other table of the detail info. For example, you can change to the DDBC connection pool detailed page and to check the connection usage info. In this page, you can see that the connection usage was keep increasing from 2 to 121. Besides, after you extend the tree view, you will see that the problem only occurs in the DDBC tree data source. which is the first one of the data source tree view. So we only need to focus on the database Dtrader data source only, and other data source looks fine. Okay, let's move to next page. In this page, after you check the problem, you need to take some action to do problem determination. The first action we recommend is that you can enable the connection leak detection trace. You just need to select the SIG server from the topology view and click the enable trace menu on the context menu bar. Then the enable trace dialog will be shown. In the dialog, you just need to select the connection leak trace from the trace list, and then click the OK button. The connection leak trace will be enabled on the server side. Let's move to next page. After a period of time, from the dashboard, you will see that except the DDBC-related problem, there are some other more problem was reported. For example, you will see that the server rate error occurs, which means that some server rates failed because of the connection timeout. And there are also some DDBC connection timeout errors. There is also transaction back errors because application can't get any connection from the connection pool and the transaction will roll back at last. So after a period of time, more problem will be seen from the dashboard. Okay, let's move to next page, to page 34. In the page 34, we will take more actions. In this page, you just need to right-click the SIG server and select the Show Connection Pool Content. After you click the Show Connection Contents view, you will see some detailed information. Let's move to next page, the page 35. In the page 35, it's the pop-up dialog of the Get Connection Pool Contents. You will see that all the DDBC connection pool and the JC connection pool list was shown there. And as we have investigated from the detailed table page, the trade data source is the root cause of the connection leak, so we just need to select the trade data source from the DDBC connection pool list. And in the right panel, you will see that all the detailed information about this connection pool was shown there, which includes the connection status, the used thread, and the user time. Okay, let's move to next page. Using the get connection pool contents menu, we not only be able to get some information about the connection status, we also be able to get the connection leak logic information. For example, we can see that some connection was allocated by the following Java stack trees. So using this stack trees, you will be able to locate the root cause of the connection leak. You will see that we allocated the connection from our Dtrader thread. You will be able to find the code location. You should pay some attention in this page because mostly if you don't enable the connection detect the logic trees, you can only get the information in the previous page. You can't get the connection leak logic information. But if you enable the connection leak logic trees, you can get this information from the get connection pool contents pop up dialog. So it will be very easy for you to check this information. And you don't need to check any information on server side. You can get all the info from the workbench. It's very easy and will facilitate your process of a problem determination. Let's move to next page. In the next page, I will introduce more workshops. I will not give you some detailed information about this workshop. You can get this information from the workbench itself because we have added the workshop to the welcome wheel, and you just need to select the icon from the welcome wheel, and you will be able to get more scenarios, including the out-of-memory scenarios, the synchronization blocking scenarios, the deadlock scenarios, and the high CPU usage scenarios. Of course, the connection leak scenarios was also there. So if you want to learn more about how to use the toolkit to monitoring and determine problems, it's a good start to start from the workshop which was built in the workbench. So using this workshop, you will be able to learn more about the method to determine this type of problems. So when some problem was really occurs, you will be able to know how to determine them. So the best way to learn this toolkit is practice. So you are encouraged to go through this workshop, and if you have a chance, you can do some exercise on your own environment. It's very easy. You just need to prepare for some voice cluster and use some script to deploy the dtrader, and you need to download the Demeter client as the stress tool, and we also provide the stress script of Demeter. So everything is very easy to set up. Okay, let's move to next page. In this page, I will go to the end of the presentation. I will give a brief summary on all the content of this presentation. I will introduce the main features and functions we have introduced in the presentation. So go to next page. Here is a list of the functions we have introduced in this presentation. The first function is the performance monitoring function. In this part, we have introduced three levels of monitoring. The first level of monitoring is the dashboard monitoring. In the dashboard wheel, you will be able to monitor all the key status of all servers in one page. It's a very important wheel for large quality monitoring because you don't need to check the status of each server one by one. You just need to look at the dashboard and all the key status was shown there. If some problem was detected in the dashboard, you need to get into the second monitoring level to check some detailed information or the history data. The second level of monitoring page is the graph view. The graph view will show the history data with some charts, and you can only get some history data of one server, but it will be showing a graph, and you can check more data. If you need to get more detailed information, you just need to switch to the detailed data page. In this data page, you can check most of the detailed information. For example, most of the detailed information will be shown in some different background color, and you will be very easy to select the most important subtree item for investigation. The second function of our toolkit is the perform tuning. We introduced two ways to perform the performance tuning. The first way is the tuning parameters view. In this view, you can extract most of the performance-related data of servers, and you can make some modification on the performance data table, and then you can update these modifications to your server side. It will be very easy for you to perform the performance tuning task, especially for some batch task. Besides, you can also tune your parameters use some scripts. Here we provide a script view and a script editor to assist you to modify some existing script or edit your own script, and you can run this script against any host you defined in your host views. So it's very convenient for you to run scripts to multiple cells. Except for the performance tuning, you can also use this toolkit to check the health of your system. There is a rule engine built in this toolkit. The rule engine will filter all the processed data, which was extracted from the server side. And users can define their own rules according to the characters of their own systems. The rule editor will help users to define their own rules and also help users to check the statistic. So it's very easy for users to define their own rule to detect problems. The fourth function of this toolkit is some problem determination related operations. For example, use this toolkit, you can generate the thread dump and heap dump use the dump agent. You can enable trees very conveniently use the trees agent. As you have seen in previous page, you just need to select the trees type, and you don't need to remember most of the tree string. Besides, you can also get the connection pool related information from the connection pool agent. This function was shown in the example of connection leak. So you will know that how to use this function to determine connection pool related problem. The last function is the log agent. Use log agent, you can extract the log files such as the system out and the system error log. You can extract these errors from the server side to the client side. So it's very easy for you to check this information. Besides, this toolkit also provides the performance-related reports. If you want to get an overview of some performance monitoring results, you will be able to generate a report for the performance monitoring, and you can extract this data to a documentation of Word or PDF. So that's the overview, that's the summary of my presentation. I have introduced most of the functions and the features of this toolkit. If you want to have a try, you can download this toolkit from this link. And there is also a forum for this toolkit. If you have any questions or any feedback on this toolkit, you are welcome to the to post your questions to this forum. We will answer your questions. So I think that's all of my presentation. And you can see some additional Webster product resource from this page. And you can get most of the information. Okay, let's move to next page. Next page, if you want to contact us about this session, you just need to send a mail using this mail address. And if you have some feedback on the toolkit, or you have some new requirements for this toolkit, you can send me an email. I have put my mail address on the first page of the presentation. And you can also post your questions or requirements to the forum. I will check the forum frequently. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Peter, for a great presentation. So, Jackie, if you could open it up for questions now.
If you'd like to ask a question on the phone, please dial *1 at this time. Our first question comes from Oscar. Your line is open.
Yes. What are the WASP versions that are supported by this tool?
You mean the version of Web Application Server?
Yeah, and does it support ND also? That it seems like it does, based on your presentation.
Yes. We have tested this tool using the version 7 and the version 8, but I'm not sure about the previous version because we didn't test it.
Okay. I've got another question. What needs to be, I understand we have to install the client on a Windows box, right? And then, but what needs to be enabled or installed just to get the dashboard information to show? I mean, does the tool need to be up for a little bit or I mean, does it use historical data coming from the server or I mean, what does it take to get the, you know, if you have 7 or 8 different WebSphere, you know, you have different, we have a bunch of clients using WebSphere, and each one has their own set of nodes and D managers, right? So that's why I'm wondering, you know, what needs to be running for the dashboard to show you just the initial, you know, just like you showed on the presentation.
You mean that your question is that how to use the dashboard to show in the server side problem?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, so let's say, for example, you know, I connect to one of my clients, you know, D managers, right? And I go to the dashboard. Will that show me some historical information, or is it just from this point where I connect it to that SOAP port that it starts collecting?
Yes, we just use the SOAP port to connect to the server side, and you don't need to do any other configuration.
So if we have firewalls, all we need to have, you know, open is the SOAP port?
Sorry, could you repeat your question?
Yeah, you know, if there are firewalls between, you know, the IBM network and the client machine, right? That's holding that.
You mean the firewall will may prevent the support to prevent us to extract data from the support, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, is it just the one SOAP port that needs to be open, or are there others that need to be open, or just the one port?
Yes, you just need the one port to be connected. We don't need the other port.
Okay. The other thing is, you know, a lot of times, I mean, we are, you know, we monitor the production environment, right? And that's
yes.
where most of the issues come. But to make a change, we usually have to make the change on a pre-production environment first, test it, you know, before we make it to prod. It almost looked like from your presentation that you could, you know, gather, you know, the settings from one server, make a change, and then, I mean, update them, and then propagate the change to another server. Was that correct?
We can't copy the we have not added this action of template. If needed, we will add this function in Broker, but by now, we just allow users to make modification in the in a table.
Okay. Now, is there? I know that you have a Derby database where the data is stored, right?
Yes. It's an embedded Derby database.
Oh, it's a server-side database?
No, it's not on the server side, and it's only an embedded Derby database which was built in the workbench. It's in the client side.
Oh, okay. Now, do we need to have the tool up for the data to be collected and then stored in the Derby database? It almost seems like that's the case.
You don't need to take any action. The data will be stored in the Derby database at the client side automatically. And if you don't need them, you just need to delete them. But all the data will be persisted automatically.
Even if the tool is you know, if I take the tool down?
Yes.
Okay. Does the tool provide a tuning parameter recommendations or no?
Recommendation about the, you mean the tool will provide any recommendation on performance tuning or?
Yeah.
It will provide some recommendation. It will not provide any recommendation on performance tuning, but it will only catch the abnormal symptom by some predefined rule. And you just catch this problem, and you will make a decision how to tune the performance.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, if we have several you know, WAS or WebSphere environments that belong to different customers, can a single tool handle the data collection from all of them concurrently or no?
No. It can only collect the performance data from one cell at one time, and it's not allowed to collect performance-related data from different cells at the same time. If you want to do this, you will need to open the workbench from another server or copy it to another path.
Okay. So I can have several versions of the workbench on my laptop, for example, and then. As long as I put them on different directories, then I should be able to collect concurrently, right?
Yes. If you want to collect this data concurrently, you need to copy the performance tuning toolkit to different paths on the same server and launch to different clients.
Okay, got it. And so if we have multiple people that want to use it or get access to historical data, then we will have to put the toolkit, install it on a machine that we all have access to, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I have. Sorry for so many questions, but that's all I got.
You are welcome. You are welcome to send me a mail if you have any more questions. Or you can also put your questions to the forum. I will answer. I will check them frequently.
Oh, maybe one final question. A long time ago, I saw that the toolkit was available, and I downloaded version 1.0.0.01. Is that the latest one?
No. The latest version is version 2.
Okay. And now, is there like an upgrade process, or what happens to the data that's collected in the Derby database for the old version of the toolkit? Is it lost, or can you do an upgrade?
We have not provided any upgrade way. Yeah, so if you want to use the new version, I think it's hard to migrate this data to the new toolkit. But if you have any special requirements, we will think about it in future release.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Brian Lee. Your line is open.
Okay. Three quick questions. The first one is the PTP. Is open source or licensed production?
It's not open source. It's a tech preview toolkit, which can get from the developer works or from the IBM support assistant at a tech preview plugin.
It's free.
It's free, but not open source.
Okay. The second question is, I believe that performance data collected in the PTT is from the server side, the PMR, PMI.
So, yes, you are right.
So should we do some changes on the PMI in order to let PTT collect the data from the PMI on the server side? Like, should we change the performance data collection level on the server side? You know, we have the four levels on the server side for PMR, PMI. One is no.
In fact, you needn't to do this manually, because when we connect to the server side, we will customize the PMI settings. Yes.
The PTT will do it automatically for us.
Yes. It will do it automatically.
So we don't have to go to the server side to change the PMI.
Yes. Yes, as we designed, users needn't do any configuration on the server side.
Okay. The PTT will do it automatically for us.
Yes.
Okay. The last question is, so you're talking about the performance tuning. You have to change some parameters. So in order to take some parameters effective on the server side, sometimes we have to rebounce the server. So do we need to rebounce the server for the after you change the parameters, configuration parameters on the PTT?
Yes, you need to reboot. PTT tool only have to facilitate this process, but after you make modification, you have to reboot your server
to make the parameters effective on the server side.
Yes,
so,
you're right.
So the PTT is not going to reboot the server for us. So we have to reboot.
It will not take this action.
Okay, thank you, Peter. The presentation is wonderful. It's very nice.
Okay, thank you.
question's from Manohar Nayak. Your line is open.
Yeah. My question is, do we have this tool for the AIX platform also?
No. This script only provides the Windows version and the Linux version. For the Linux version, we only tested it on the 32 byte. And for the Windows version, I think both 32 and 64 byte OS, both of them can be used.
Okay. Any plans that we have for the AIX coming up?
By now, we have no plan because this toolkit is a workbench and it's not a, a merchant server. So we only locate our toolkit as a workbench, which will be run on the desktop. Okay.
Do we need to have any database in background to support this?
No, you needn't to prepare for any database. It will use an embedded Derby database, which was built in the workbench. So it's not an outside database.
Okay. Does it require any space to be accumulating the saved data or something?
Sorry, could you repeat your question?
Does it require any disk space to save these reports or data?
Disk space, I think you may need to prepare some disk space, but as far as I know, the data, was, the performance data was not as much as other data. So most of the time, you need needn't prepare a big enough disk because the data was, most of the time the data was not big enough. From my experience, if you only use this toolkit for performance testing or performance tuning or performance property determination, you just need to use this toolkit as a normal workbench. But it's not recommended to use this toolkit as a long-term monitoring tool because it's used, there is some limitation of the embedded Derby database. So I'm not sure if it supports a large amount of data. Okay, is that clear for you?
It looks like he has disconnected. Our next question is from Stephen Chen. Your line is open.
Yeah, it says when I connect to my WebSphere application server JVM, it says your network may be disconnected. Please check the network connection and reconnect to the host. So I'm not sure why is this, because I connect to other servers, seems fine.
There may be some possible problems. Maybe you didn't provide the right user and the password for your administrator.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Most please check your username and the password. Most of the time, this was caused by a wrong password or username.
Yeah, but it does not tell me, you know, the username or password is not correct, right?
Because I will check this problem. This problem may be a known problem of user password error. It doesn't give the right error message. I will try my best to fix it. But from my experience, most of the time, this problem will be fixed if you use the right username and the password and check the security enabled checkbox.
Okay. You know, I just noticed that I'm using version 1.1, so is there any big difference between 1.1 and 2?
Yes, there are some difference. For example, the version 1 doesn't have the dashboard. It will use use several tables for each single server. So it's hard to check the overview status when you monitor a large body.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I will try version 2. Maybe that will solve my problem.
Okay, thank you.
We have no further questions at this time. It looks like Mr. Long has dropped off, so thank you, Peter, for presenting today, and this concludes today's call.